Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios. We'll help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. Tonight, I have a very special guest for me. I have Tamika with me. I have Pick the Flip podcast with me. We're going to talk about Penguin Episode 5, Homecoming. So let's go ahead. Let's dive into Homecoming. And hey, guys, welcome to the show.
Hey.
So some of our predictions happened and some of them didn't happen. My predictions didn't happen, so I'm batting zero. So everything's in the, but still, I just have to say, I'm really enjoyed seeing, I'm glad that this show is unpredictable to the point where I'm actually, where I'm basically putting everything together to where on a mafia kind of level, and it's not going the way that I wanted to. So I'm actually happy with that. What about for you guys though? I know Pick a Flick, I know that you had a couple of predictions that happened in this as well.
Well, you know, I said that Johnny Vitti is going to go down. I think you said by episode 6 or 7, the last time we discussed it.
Yeah.
Well, we're on episode 5. You saw what happened, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. As long as you know. This was a good episode, man.
This was a solid episode.
Right. Pick up, and Oz is definitely starting to break.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good show. At first, I wasn't watching it, and John nudged me a little bit more, and then I had to take a break from wrestling and then watch it. And I was like, oh, okay, so I get it now. I'm in.
You see, that's all it took. It took one little push, and I got you into watching the Penguin.
Yeah,
so yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, it was like pushing me off the ledge in the Jersey River.
Right.
And then I came up and said, Penguin.
But after escaping the nightclub, Oz and Victor burn the car in the street. While Victor is worried that Sophia might take retaliation, Oz is not too worried about it and appreciates Victor's rescue. What I like is about this scene is it's like, okay, kid, I'm happy. You saved me. We got, and he goes, look, Oz, I'm sorry about your car. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And Then after that, they torch it, they go on ahead, they leave. But I love the chemistry between him and Victor. Him and Victor have the best chemistry on the screen to me. And I love it when you have all of Penguin's goons that shows up. And he's like, hey, what about your car? Man, don't worry about it. I'll be all right and everything. Let's just go. Let's just get out of here. But I thought the opening scene of them picking it up right where we left off at the episode before this was really good.
Yeah, the opening sequence was actually very good. I felt a bit sad for the car, though. The purple Batmobile is gone. It was a beautiful vehicle. It looked very pretty, and just to see it get blown up like that. But yeah, picking up from the last episode, it's nice to see Oz and Vic continue with their report. Very interested to see whether Rex Calabrese has got the Oz he's bringing up. Has probably a closer relation to him than we probably know, because he's probably the only person that I think that he thinks positively that I've heard mentioned throughout. Like, yeah, something's going on there. Power related or something. This is a good opener otherwise.
Yeah, definitely is.
Yeah. It was a beautiful car. It did have a bullet hole in it, so it was going down in the beginning. But, I mean, it was wonderful. I love the car. But yeah, it seems like the car is just doomed to just fail, doomed to be destroyed. Like, bullet hole, you ran into a guy, and then you get caught on fire. But then, I mean, he could buy another car, sort of.
Exactly.
If he gets his mushroom business going, he can buy, like, two or four cars.
Just like the hooker told him, he goes, look, baby, this is just temporary. You know, once you got back on top and everything, it's going to be fine. But I don't want you right now. I have some thinking to do. So... So he's in the friend zone right now, temporarily. But, you know, I just thought it was really interesting on how he has everything lined up, how Oz winds up finding himself getting out of trouble every single time that you turn around, right?
Wow.
And he's like, okay, so I got this other thing mapped out to the point where I'll get Sophia's family because she's the bigger fish to fry, and then after that, I'll go after the Maronis. But I love how he looks at the TV and everything, too. He goes, wait, Sophia did me a favor by killing everybody inside the house. Therefore, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Mm-hmm. I just got to focus on the Maronis. And I like how he goes back over to the Maronis, over into the jail cell. And, you know, whenever you have the mob boss there, and then you also have, of course, his wife. It's like, well, you know, you can't trust him. He's sneaky. And he goes, well, he's like, well, let's just see what happens, you know?
Let's see what happens.
Like, he's trying to give him a look. Like, he knows that he's sneaky. He knows that but he wants to see what Oz is going to do first before he acts on anything. But also, too, you know, you actually have the gang war with Oz and his henchmen kidnap Taj, the son of the Ronies, then forces Salvatore and Nadia to make an exchange. He will return Taj. If Nadia returns the mushroom shipment she took from Oz, Sal and Nadia reluctantly agreed to his terms. On his way out of prison, Oz sees a news report detailing a gas leak that killed nearly everyone at the Falcone estate, with Sophia among the few survivors at the estate. Sophia is questioned by the police chief over the events and Johnny Beattie's whereabouts. But she deflects the question. Beattie is revealed to be held hostage underneath the Falcone family cemetery, Sophia torturing him to gain access to Falcone's stash of money. And, you know, I thought Beattie was going to be one of those characters that's going to be like a concierge to her.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, she's using him as a pawn just to get what she wants.
Mm.
And it works out perfectly for her. And then I like also, too, how the police captain comes over there and asking Sophia questions, too. She goes, so you just came randomly over here just to check up on us? So are you here for money? What's the deal with you? Because it's not like a police chief is going to come over here, or a captain is going to come over here and ask questions. So I definitely like how she plays that narrative of the fact that she's calling the police out on their own BS.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, too. So I definitely like that aspect of that. She's a tough woman. She knows when
something's going down. And I really love the, and also too, I just like the dominance of Sophia. I just love, I just love her as a character.
Yeah, I like her as a, maybe she's a villain. I'm not sure yet. In my book, she's not. She's just an anti-hero. But it seems like she is one of like the best villains I've seen on screen, because her time in Arkham has helped her to understand the human psyche more than all of these mobsters. Like, they're in their egos and everything else. And like, just her breaking down this drug in the last episode and how she took this drug and the purpose of it. And then she was laying out, like, you know, Gotham's been flooded and then people are looking for some escape. It's like she can get into the human psyche and understand it, even how she tortures, is it Vinny?
Johnny Vinny.
Now she tortures him and she's like, she doesn't even like punch him or anything. Well, she does later on, but initially she like just throws cold water on him and then says, oh, you may go into hypothermia. Like, it's like very smart and cerebral the way she approaches things.
Definitely. I think that with her doing time in Arkham taught her a lot of the psyche of how to get in someone's head.
Yes. And those are dangerous kinds.
I think so. That is dangerous because they go like this. The Falcone family exiled her into Arkham because they clinically thought that she was insane. And then she comes out being 10 times smarter than what they thought she would be. Not only does she survive it, but she also uses all the psychological stuff and to be able to do everything that she's doing and the manipulation behind it as well. So I think that plays it off where she's a powerhouse, someone that you do not want to mess with.
Yeah.
And that's something that I really loved about it. And then, you know, I like also too how she goes, look, I can do anything. I can get people to be on your side. I can help you become the boss that you deserve to be. And not only that, she's like this. Boom. She goes, so you know about my mom. You know about my mom and everything. You helped got my dad killer and hunger and then framed me for the job. Everything. You didn't step in to help me then. Why are you going to help me now? Because his ass is on the line and he doesn't want to die. Right. So therefore, he's going to do anything he can possible to save his own ass.
He tried to get real melancholy with it for a second. I'm trying to give you a chance now. Your mother tried to run out, but if it weren't for you meddling kids, she could have escaped.
Right, because blame the mother for going back to her father. And the thing is, when you're in an abusive situation like that, you're going to go into familiar territories. You're not going to be able to, because, you might have left, but whatever that you left is still in your head. So therefore, you're still held prison in your own head. So therefore, you're going to go back with something that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
And so that's why her mother went back, and that's what happened. So that's not the mother's fault or anything. It's the manipulation of the Falcone family and themselves.
Yeah.
What they did. So, you know, then, like I said, Johnny is over there just trying to save his own ass. He's like, look, I can get you people to be on your side. I can get you the money that you need. And so with that, I like how you mentioned that, Tamika, where she throws the cold water on him. Oh, fuck it. You're just being hypothermia at this point. So...
Yeah, and she takes her time too. Like, she's laying on a coffin or whatever you would call that, and she's like just talking to him, and he's just like, you think he would just be like at a point of breaking and say, all right, fine, I'll tell you. But like, she takes her time with it. She's like, eventually you're gonna break, so I'm just gonna let you talk and just let you open up and then dig deeper in your psyche.
Right. If you think about it, though, that scene is beautifully well written.
Yeah.
As well. And it's also, like I was mentioned to Pick the Flick in the backstage area, I'm like, this is the last remaining person of her family that she's talking to. And stuff. That's it. There's no one else. And he's by himself. So I really have to say, I love how he's trying to save himself. But at the same time, it's a little too late. You try to send her off to Paris. You try to exile her again. And stuff like that. You dug your own hole, and now you're trying to get out of it. So Now we're going to move on to, while Oz's gang is worried about the death of the Falcones, Oz considers it an advantage as Sophia did the work for them. He then assigns Victor to take care of his mother, Frances, disappointing Victor as Oz arrives at a warehouse to meet with Nadia. He and his henchman, Mikey, try to kill Sal in prison after delivering Taj safely. But the thing that I loved about the whole entire kidnapping of Taj was the fact he's getting a tattoo done. And he's got his Beats headphone on like I do.
Over freaking TikTok.
So, and they're over there shooting. These people are supposed to be his security guys, and they're getting killed while he's getting a tattoo done. And broad daylight. And they take him, and then after that, you have that whole entire deal now where now he's going to try, now Oz is going to try and hold him for leverage over the Falcones, which is actually really smart because now that Sophia took care of the family, she can worry about the small fish first and then worry about Sophia later. So it works out in its favor.
Yeah, I think I'm just impressed with Oz, like knowing TikTok. But also, it seems very easy for these younger criminals that they just post online. And, even in real life, the cops know because these younger criminals post on Facebook, look at all this money I got, I just robbed a bank. And they're like, all right. And he's posting on TikTok, like, yeah, I'll get my tattoo done at 123 Tattoo Shop in Jersey. Come, yeah, yeah, homie, yeah. Yeah, and then it's like, okay, write that down. 1, 2, 3, tattoo. I mean, he's giving away everything in TikTok, and it used to be harder to find these people. But he's just like, yo, look at my ugly tattoo. It's an ugly tattoo, by the way.
It looks like a tattoo of Hawk from The Karate Kid.
I mean, I know that you like Ben Affleck, but yeah. Ben Affleck's tattoo is just as ugly as this one.
Well, I never seen this tattoo.
Oh, I have to look at it.
Like, I'm calling you out, Ben. Now what? What?
Yeah.
Affleck. He had like this giant phoenix or something across his back. Okay. Like, covers his whole back.
But
in your face, Affleck.
Ugly. I would have killed him too, just because of the tattoo.
In your face, Affleck.
Yeah, if we were criminals, I would have took that phone to snatch it and threw it somewhere. What are you getting on TikTok for?
You know what though? What I thought that was going to happen to him, I thought Oz was going to go in here and skin him, take the tattoo off of his body, and then send it over to the Falcones.
Oh, John, you got dark.
Like, I'm sorry, I've seen too many saw too many episodes of Sons of Anarchy that I thought that was going to wind up happening.
You got dark real quick.
Then when Victor goes over to Oz's mom's house, I'm thinking that her head is going to be in the boiling pan. Because I thought,
oh dear.
So I'm like, because think about it like this: everything is disarrayed when Victor walks in there, right?
Yes.
You don't see Oz's mother anywhere. So the first initial thought was, "Oh shit, the Maronis must have whacked her," and that would actually cause Oz to be even more dangerous as well. Mm-hmm. And he's pissed off at them already, but to actually kill his mother, he's attached to.
That's the last straw.
Right. But at the same time, though, I couldn't help but think that she was probably in the pot. I'm sorry. I thought her head was in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a second, you know how those dramas go. I thought her mental just went to a spiral and she couldn't do it anymore. She ended it all. That probably would have been the best case scenario for the room.
Wow. I just thought, she got robbed or something and she put up a fight.
Yeah, it was too quiet in the pot. TV loud.
Oh, can we talk about Tarja? Can we talk about Oz and the genius of him putting the sun in gasoline?
Yeah,
because I thought it was water.
I did too. I really did. I thought he was doing some type of hypodermia though too. But then again, we didn't see how Oz was torturing him. So it gave us a little bit of a mystery element of what he did to him. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what did they do to him? And then even the mother's like, what did they do to you? And you can tell that he's trying to tell her, don't hug me, don't get near me, or anything. You can tell the fear in his eyes. And then next thing you know it, Oz winds up lighting them up and burning them alive. And even what's that?
Oh, go ahead.
But remember what even when Moroni winds up telling them, hey, look, do not go by yourself. You cannot trust Oz at all. Mm-hmm. But I like how she does have a couple of men that have actually helped them. But it's like three guards. You need more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, he winds up taking down, Oz winds up taking them all down. And of course, they also have his shrooms that he's been wanting. So they wind up trying to do a trade-off between the sun and also between the shrooms. And so they do a trade-off, but the guy gets in the car before the sun can even he winds up going all the way up to where his mother is, and then she winds up hugging him.
Yeah. I was going to ask, do you think he would have set them on fire sooner? Because it seems like the son was going to the mom, and then they were talking, like you said. But I thought he was just going to let them go and get in the truck and take the shrooms. And then I was thinking, well, they shot at him, so of course he's going to light them on fire.
Yeah, he's got an automatic Uzi. But I don't think that he would let them go because it's too much already.
With the timing of them coming out, he had the gun ready. So even if they did, he probably was going to shoot them.
That makes sense. Yeah.
He had the intent of actually killing them. And then, of course, the shrooms get destroyed anyways, all but two buckets. And he can't build an umpire on two buckets of shrooms. Two buckets.
Let me show you something.
It was probably some scientific thing where they were left out. Because I think those buckets were concealed, so the atmosphere was moist. And right. The other ones were kind of just left out in the air, and they dried out and turned to dust.
You know what else I'm thinking of those too? Well, you know what else I was thinking too? I don't think that the Moronis knew what they had. All they knew was that they had shrooms, and they didn't know exactly. Because if you knew that you had a $1 billion idea, even though they followed Oz, the warehouse and stuff like that, they do not have any idea of what the drugs are, right? The way that they had it laid out in the truck and everything, those things were going to die regardless of the fact that the fire alarm was going to go off or not and stuff. So therefore, those were already looked like they were dead to me. Because they need to be in moisture. They need to be in a wet area. And the way they look, they look like they were already dead. I don't know if you guys paid attention to it or not, but after the second watch, I looked at it. They were white and kind of crinkly a little bit. So they were already kind of destroyed already. So I don't think that they knew what they had to begin with.
I didn't pay attention that closely, but yeah, I was
paying attention to when he was pulling that gun out.
Yeah, I was distracted.
You were going to kill it regardless. Okay.
Right.
And then he watched them burn. It was like, yes, burn quick.
All right, Sweeney Todd.
All I can think of is Danny DeVito as the Penguin, burn, baby, burn.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But and then you have Sal that calls him up. He goes, what? Sal winds up picking up one of the people that work for Oz. And he winds up saying, so how did it go? Because he was supposed to get whacked in prison. And I like how it just cuts over to Oz before that. And he goes, well, you tell me. How do you think it went? He goes, Joey's not alive. He's dead. He's not alive anymore. And he goes, you're going to burn for this, Oz. Because it's a funny thing about burning.
Right. You are cooked, Mr. Krabs says. You are cooked. Well, speaking of cooked.
Right. Because he wasn't saying, speaking of being burnt, I just watched your son and wife die.
Mm. Right. He said, call her and see if she picks up the phone.
Yeah, he says, call her and see if she picks
click
up.
Click. That's it. Genius.
But then after that winds up happening, we have, and then he goes, Ben, who survived, he killed Mikey. That's right. He killed Mikey. Sal killed Mikey and escaped from Blackgate. He threatens Oz's life and in return teases that he should call his wife. Oz gets Victor to take Frances into hiding, and Victor takes her to an old apartment in Crown Point, a neighborhood where Victor grew up and that heavily damaged by the floods. After being tortured, VD explains that Sophia's mother, Isabella Giannotti, was planning to leave Carmine Falcone, but could not due to her having her own children, eventually agreeing to support her desire to be the new head of the family. Dr. Rush later visits Sophia, revealing that he knows she was involved in the gas leak, but nevertheless supports the decision and is willing to stay with her. So I thought that was interesting how you actually have now the doctor involved in this as well. Because, you know, you were right about me, but it wasn't about the control issue. It was because of the fact that I want to be with you.
Mm.
But I love the whole entire, all the men at the table as she's walking in the door. And she has her mother's jacket on her, her fur coat, goes up to her, goes up to everybody. You know, in order for her to be taken seriously, she has to do something drastic to be feared. Not only by be feared, but also to be loved at the same time.
Mm.
And so it goes back to a Bronx tale. Would you rather be loved or would you rather be feared? So anyways, she has all the pile of money from her dad on the table as well. But Johnny winds up saying, look, they understand what's going on.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
On here, okay? They don't need any more instructions. We already know what the big problem is and everything. Next thing I know it, she takes out the gun and shoots him in the head.
Yeah, she first admitted, like, yeah, I killed my family. And then Ross like, oh, my. But, yeah, I thought that I think she was going to kill him eventually, but I didn't know it was going to be that soon. But it is good that she waited so she could know where the money was, like all the locations first. She got what she needed from him. Because I think he was going to rat her out anyway and turn on her. But well, maybe she gave like that leverage of, I killed them.
Right. But think of it like this. You took out the last remaining person of the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, now she has her own family that she can have. But what better way to do it than have him have the men that he knows that can do the job that she wants them to do and already have the men lined up for her. So therefore, she doesn't have to do anything because now the legwork is done. So she doesn't need him for that. Then she's got the money from him because she needed it because she needed to pay them with her father's money that the father withheld from them. So therefore, she used him as a pawn. And then after that, she sacrificed him and killed him. Because now he's no longer needed. He's no longer needed.
Yeah.
So I thought that was perfect. But what did you think about Victor bringing his Oz's mom into that hiding spot in that area. You're like, I don't like this place. It reminds me of time from a place that I grew up in. And so at that point, he winds up telling Oz where they're at. Oz comes in that same night. And I love the relationship between Oz and his mom, because all Oz wants to do is just be loved by his mom, who's a narcissistic woman.
Right.
And even whenever she said, wait, Oz did this? And I love how Victor is like trying to show that he's showing victory over Oz and trying to say, yeah, he did this. He did that. He killed the Backholms. And wow, okay. And then she still doesn't quite believe him. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, he didn't really do that, did he? There's not. He didn't. Then he comes in and she's ashamed of her own son. And all he wants is the attention and the love and affection of his own mother. And that's what I got out of that, especially whenever the mother's like, get away from me, you're a failure, da 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 da. But any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was quite a moment between Oz and his mom. On the one hand, I do love the chemistry that's good between her and Vic. He's such a sweet kid, taking care of her. And I like how she kind of plays it off like her dementia is just kind of misremembering him for Oz. She's like, I know who you are. Tell my son that visit more. He sends me strangers.
Oh.
Such a lovely moment between those two. But it's like, mom's cold.
She's not cold and brutal. That woman has a heart of stone, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I thought Oz had a very Freudian relationship with his mom, because they were in bed together. And I was like, okay. I mean, he was like the big spoon and she was a little spoon. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? Okay. And I know what was happening. And then he's constantly trying to get her validation, because I could tell she, like I said, she is a narc. But she's used to a certain lifestyle. Like, her lifestyle now ain't that great, but when she got, like, say, in Vic's apartment, she was like, ugh, this reminds me of when I was poorer.
The East Side.
Poor people. Bad. You don't got no lights? Ugh, my God.
We have money over here.
It's cold in here. Oh, my God. I can hear the train.
What's this cobwebs, Victor?
You already live in this dump? But what I really was screaming at the TV about was he was like, oh, hurry up before the drug dealer see you. And she was like, who? This guy? I was like, get your ass in the apartment.
And she kept on messing with him. She was like, what? Oh, what did they do? You better be glad they didn't get a lecture. Let me show you something, kids. You don't let that drug dealer
right in the doorway. He's like, come, come. She's like, huh? Him? You scared of this guy? This guy? She's like, hurry up before I take you out. And I was like,
I definitely went
I may not love my son the way I love my son, but this guy's nothing compared to how my son is.
I would like punch her in the face and then drug her in there. I mean, I like
drug dealer scary.
Come on, wuss. My God! Then he saw him, and I'm thinking, so what is that drug dealer gonna do now that he saw Vic?
And I'm like, oh,
asking questions. You want me to do what? Why are you whispering? Shut up. This guy? Oh, my God.
That neighborhood was really dangerous to the point where I'll be like, look, I don't even want to be in this neighborhood either. But I'm sure the hell don't want to be noticed by this other guy that's supposedly
I'm gonna go home.
Really dangerous in this neighborhood.
You remind me of, have y'all seen Ready Player One?
Yeah.
That's what that neighborhood reminded me of. Like, just trash piled up real high, like a junkyard.
Yeah, it definitely does remind me of that. It kind of like an apocalyptic kind of.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Like 2012.
Yeah. It looked like The Walking Dead over there, to be honest.
It did. With the drug dealers.
But now she has a taste of where Victor comes from, though, too. And realizing where he grew up in, the streets he walked in. I like the line that she says, yeah, you can lose your life to the streets of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that, though, too, remember that though, pick a flick where I said, just as Vic lost his self to the streets, he also lost his parents' souls to Gotham as well. So it's kind of poetic in a sense on that scale with the writing as well. Then after that, we actually have a nice thing with Sophia and also with Maroli as well. What I like about that is the fact that she finds out where he's staying at and the safe house that he's at. She shoots the two bodyguards.
Right. She murked all of them.
And she's like, look, I'm not here. I'm here to end this war between our families. And he was going to get ready to talk shit about the Falcons. She goes, I'm not a Falcon. And she tells him the new name, which is her mother's maiden name, of Gianni.
Gigante.
Is it Gigante?
Yeah,
something like that. Something.
And he's like, we have a common enemy. Let's take down Oz.
That's right.
And let's do this together. Mm-hmm. And even the place that he's staying at is a dump because he's using the security guards' place as a way to hide out. And
this place.
You can't hide out of the Krusty Krab. Come on. It had lights.
Yeah, it had lights and a table.
Right. My favorite line.
And a kitchen.
This is my favorite line, then, to me, that Sophia says to him, though, right? Where he winds up saying, so, you like wood, huh?
Oh, my God.
But I definitely love the back and forth between them because now they have to depend on each other. Two families that never got along before. And for them to join alliances, now we can become from that small fish over to that big fish.
Mm-hmm.
Again. But is he going to backstab her is also another thing.
Or is she going to backstab him? Okay.
Because right now, think of it like this. You have a common enemy, which is Oz.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after they try to get rid of him? If they get rid of him? You know, where does that lead them after that? This is just a business transaction in a sense.
Yeah, she was talking about merging their families together, and she liked how their family interacted with each other over hers, but I wouldn't trust her. Even though I like her, I wouldn't trust her.
No, yeah. But Sal is kind of reasonable in a sense at the same time, but not very trusting either.
Yeah.
He's got his guard up.
Yeah, he was called sentimental by her father.
Let's see. Francis, okay. So we're now planning to kill Oz and to take over the city. Oz arrives at Victor's apartment and tries to consult Francis, but she turns him down. He thanks Victor for his actions and opens up about the death of his siblings, finding an old trolley token in the house. Oz gets Victor to accompany him to the abandoned underground trolley station he visited in his childhood. Oz turns on the lights and decides to use the station as a base for his mushroom operation. Mm-hmm. But what I like about the whole thing with Victor and Francis is like this. He's like, come on, we gotta get out of here. We gotta get out. And she's like, you're broke. That's basically what she's saying. She's like, dude, you're broke.
The mom was just pushing me off.
And I like how she cuddles him a little bit as he's on the table. And I love how calm of Beryl's expressions are, right? You can tell he's pissed off. Like, I love the flare in his eyes at that moment because the camera angle, the way the camera's focused on his eyes, I'm like, this dude's pissed. But she goes on again and cuddles him. And she goes, look, you'll be back on top, baby. It'll be okay. I promise. You know? But right now, I have some thinking to do. I'm thinking that you're poor right now. But you'll be on top again with your two buttons.
Soprano's like outburst was funny though when he just started throwing stuff on the ground. Like, after everything I did for you,
that's why you.
I was like, oh wow.
Colin was watching way too much Sopranos.
But I have a question: is it just me or did Colin's fat suit make him look like he lost some weight? Because when you look at it, the last couple of episodes, he's kind of big. That's funny. Kind of seems kind of slim. Like,
I think he started forgetting about it or made it smaller at least.
Yeah, I think he like cussed them out so much, and they're like, okay, we'll take some off.
Yeah, we'll take some off the top.
Yeah.
I got another project to do. I can't.
Hopefully he be, like I told John, hopefully he'll be back for season two, because he was complaining that he hated that fat suit and he doesn't want to wear it ever again.
I love him, the black fat suit and everything too, but
like Tom Cruise, just do it for our pleasure. Your pain is
no.
Jeez.
He's going to be ripped in the Batman too.
Stop bitching and be like Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, break your ankle.
I'm not getting Tom Cruise money.
Tom Cruise break his ankle and he's still doing Mission Impossible films for our pleasure.
Colin is hands down my favorite actor in this series. And he's also, too, he's one of my favorite actors. Cosmetics behind the makeup and stuff like that, and how he loses himself in that character. That's not Colin anymore. That's a total different person.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing like a New York accent mixed in with a New Jersey accent, and it works. Yeah. And also, too, the actress who's playing Sophia has this thing, too, that I really like with her accent, the way she's doing things and stuff like that. I really loved it. And as a matter of fact, she played in Wolf of Wall Street. She played Leonardo DiCaprio's first wife in Wolf of Wall Street. Before he got up with Barbie. Margot Robbie.
With Barbie, that's crazy.
Yeah. A.K.A. Harley Quinn.
Right.
Right.
But what you guys think of that? Going ahead. Sorry, babe.
I was saying before Lady Gaga. If I
the real Harley Quinn. Okay. All right, go ahead.
But not Joker for a doo-doo. But anyways, that's just as bad as the movie. My little quote is just as bad as the movie is. Okay, so anyways, we're going to move on. But my question is this. How did you guys like the subway scene? Because I love seeing abandoned subways and stuff like that and the trolleys and stuff. And it gives you more context into Oz and how he's going to do this underground operation, because now he doesn't have to go up above. Mm-hmm. He can go on ahead and just operate from underneath underneath Gotham and stuff, and let his workers do his stuff while he's operating underneath Gotham, which I think is smart.
Yeah, man, the underground scene between Oz and Nick was very cool to see. Just the whole visual of it. I started to scheme more like, oh, this place is calling my name. And they're having a nice little bonding moment after all of what Oz went through in this episode. Mm-hmm. But, you know, clearly he has his vision, and thankfully with the main character syndrome he's got a convenient place for him to put some mushrooms at him. Hopefully, if he lays low, it can work out for him.
Yeah. It just reminded me of Penguin and Batman Returns. Just his whole thing was underground too. I think it's really smart to go underground, and that he knows that these tunnels used to be active, and then the city abandoned it, and it's like a lot of room in there, and like I said, the soil is moist, and etc. And I don't know why I get a Stranger Things vibe from even. We keep waiting for a monster to pop out like roar.
Demogorgons.
Yeah, I keep waiting for them to pop out, and I'm like, oh my god! But if you get like a great generator, then he's set, because that generator kind of plucked out.
That's it.
But yeah, I think it's actually a perfect place, a perfect layer to be able to do this and stuff like that. And not only that, but you don't have Sophia that won't even think about looking there. And Francis
will find out eventually.
Well, even with even with Maroni, you know, I feel like that he won't even know either.
Well, his mom will rat him out. I don't trust his mom.
Yeah, his mom has Alzheimer's, so she might have
right there. That trolley does his.
Yeah,
you want to talk to him over there?
Trolley 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I would tell Vic, don't trust my mom. Don't tell her nothing about this place.
If you do, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
She'll sell him out for money. She that type of mom.
But I know that we didn't talk on Dr. Julian for a minute, but mm-hmm. What did you guys think about Julian showing up as well? I know that I talked about it a little bit, but I wanted to know your thoughts on it, of him playing a bigger role in this now.
Well, he wants some of that Sophia love. You know, I think that's just plain and simple, you know. But to see him open to helping her out in any way he can, I'm still holding on to that villain theory I heard about early on the show. Mm. I'm waiting for that twist. It's probably not going to happen, though. I fear it. But I really want to see where his character can go. Seeing that Sophia is starting to kind of build up a bit of support with him after, you know, even he was a bit trying to play like, you're crazy in this asylum. They were able to work it out. Maybe, you know, they'll have something happen. Maybe he'll survive. I'm not sure, though. I wouldn't trust her completely. Just like Tamika said earlier with Sal, I wouldn't trust Sophia 100%. But, doctor, you got it, man.
I think he's he has an infatuation with her. And also, it seems like he kind of wants an escape. You know, like perhaps his whole life has been structured and all this other stuff, and he's bound up tight. And he wants to be free and explore this world of, like, danger. I think that's attracting him. Like, I don't think he, like, maybe there's a part of him that cares about Sophia, but mostly I think it's infatuation and then just an escape.
Just the unknown of not knowing who she is or anything like that either. Like, yeah, some unknown danger.
He has broken so many of his own codes.
Yeah, like, climbing on top of her while she's sleeping and having a flashback.
Yeah, professionally, he broke codes. She got his number. She called him after hours. Please come help me. I'm drunk. You know, stuff like that.
But, you know, I like Theo Rossi as a doctor. I think it's very different than what I've seen him in with Sons of Anarchy. I love him as an actor. He also played Shades in Luke Cage as well. He played in that role as well as like a villainous role. Seen as a psychiatrist, it's definitely different. And it's kind of different that I can't wait to see what they're going to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's going to be it, though. I mean, is there any other final thoughts, any predictions or anything like that?
I got a prediction for you.
What's that?
Since you want to get dark, John, I'm thinking that, you know, Sophia and Sal, to get the Oz, they're going to have to take out somebody that he truly, truly loves to get to that breaking point. And I'm thinking maybe his mom is going to get it. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure where his... Right. I'm not sure where his relationship standing with Vic is. He could be playing a father figure like Assad. When Vic is gone, he might be like, oh, boo-hoo, but behind the exterior, man, I'm ready. I still got my mom. You know, you never know with Oz.
True. But over for you, Tamika.
Vic will probably go. Sadly. He'll probably go, and then that's gonna take Oz on a tailspin, and they all gonna kill each other.
Yeah.
But then that'll probably be like season like two or three or something. It can't be.
Well, the mom is still standing. She's it
all. Now she's the leader of the mushroom.
Yeah, and then she pick up the fur coat and then say, "You got some more of them mushrooms."
Right. If it ain't Batman coming, the mom's going to be like,
right.
Yeah.
But that's another thing, though, too. Like, some people are like, well, where's Batman at in all this, right? My thing is this. If you remember what happened with the ending of Batman, he got a shotgun blasted to his chest.
Yeah.
He's still recuperating from the stuff that's happened to him in the Batman. So it's only been a couple of weeks since the Batman from those events happened.
He's so, Batman.
Yeah, he's he's actually just laying around right now and stuff and just recuperating.
Like, yeah.
All the stuff built up.
Also, he's still young. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people thinking about, like, Batman Begins, like, the season Batman. This is, like, a young Batman, so he's still figuring out, the underground criminal underground, and then who's connected to who. Like, he's still green. So, I mean, of course, everybody can do all this stuff, but, you know.
This probably still hurt beating up their Riddler game.
Yeah.
But I know that I ended up doing the whole entire prediction of the fact that I think a Scarecrow behind the whole entire drug and stuff like that of the hallucinations, not the shrooms or anything like that. But I think behind the hallucinates that we had in the first couple episodes and stuff. But I think that Julian is actually going to be the Scarecrow.
See?
That's my prediction.
I mentioned it early on with the villain theory. I'm holding on still. Please.
I'm still holding on to that theory.
Shades and Scarecrow. Interesting.
Juice and Scarecrow, which is also Shades.
Yeah. Put some shades on him.
Yes.
Ryan needs his Scarecrow.
I'm trying to think of if there's like any other predictions that I want to go off of, though, too. But I like what Pick a Flick said was the only weak person that he'll go after, that Oz will go after. If you think about it like this, if you want to attack him, if you want to attack Oz, you're going to have to go ahead and take away his mother.
That's right.
Vic is a small fry compared to his mother.
Yeah, he's second. Like, I think the mom will cut him deeply. Vic will cut him deeper, like I said. Yeah. What y'all say, the mole will be deeper. Yeah.
But I'm still holding on to the prediction that Vic will last till episode 7.
Hopefully. It's more likely that the mom is going to survive all this. She starts her own empire because she's got gangster tendencies.
Don't be.
Now I've got it from somewhere.
You know what, though? That's actually an interesting way of actually ending the season finale, killing off the mother.
Good.
A bit.
Because
she needs to go. She's terrible.
And I hate to compare the Sopranos to the Penguin or whatever, but even on season 1 of the Sopranos, Tony tries smothering his own mother at the end of season 1. So maybe they're not even... Right. So I'm wondering if they're going to try and end it off with some kind of way like that, where you actually have Sophia and also the Maronis killing him off. Killing off the mother.
This basically is the Soprano, but DC version.
Yep. Right. And it works. I love it.
Yeah. DC Sopranos. We're complaining Colin Farrell.
But yeah, that's going to be it as far as this show goes. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, I'll have indie actress Marilyn Knapp with me. We're going to be reviewing Stir of Echoes at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Then Friday, I don't have any shows lined up for Friday or anything, but Monday I will be back again, and we're going to be talking about our top 5 opening scenes in a movie. I have Jay Brooke joining me for that one, for like a little episode. Then after that, we'll have to just wait and see what else I have cooking. But yeah, go ahead, smash that like button, smash the subscribe button. Go ahead, visit the Pick a Flick podcast over there as well. Rossi will be back with me next Wednesday to do the Penguin review. Nice. She got held up at work and stuff. So, you know, just give a big shout out to Rossi and stuff like that on her podcast at Rossi's Clubhouse. She has a couple of interviews lined up for Sunday and also one for Monday as well. So go on and follow her there. Also, too, check out her on Builders Studios family as well. So visit the Sleepy G Show, the Hypno Wilderness, and it's the Stupid History Minute. And also, too, go ahead, check them out, and always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. Catch you guys all in the next one.
Yeah,
bye. Here. That's what I do. Fix things.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hold up.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.